coming up.
Julie Andrews reads 50 Shades of Grey.
You completely took your teeth away from the equation.
I was very careful not to put too much of a wink in, so I went the other way.
It knows it's winky.
That's what I'm worried about, yes.
I shouldn't really use the word winky, should I?
I want you all to remember that this is a spoof.
When there's a comedy character, they don't know they're funny.
Maybe Paul Hollywood's doing it, I don't know.
Oh, it'd be so easy to slip into a cliche with this, wouldn't it?
Oh, no. No, 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 that's not what I meant. Yeah, don't do that.
This is the umpteenth time I've spoken to you about this. It's ridiculous.
Very good, have a biscuit.
Yes, 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 yes.
Please hold the line.
And now, enjoy the podcast.
How do you say that?
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 Hello and welcome to How Do You Say That, sponsored by BritishVoiceOver.co.uk. Over there, that's my co-host, it's Samantha Boffin.
Hello. And this is my co-host, Mark Rice.
Well, hello. And if you're new to the podcast, this is what it's all about. Every week, we set out to prove that there isn't just one way to read a script. There are lots of different ways.
Yes, and we do that by inviting a special guest onto the show, and we bring a script and they bring a script and we all get to give them both a read.
And, Sam, we get to play true or false, okay?
Yes,
so, here's mine this week. I love post-it notes. They're so useful, but I can't stand the green ones. All the other colours are fine. True or false?
That would just be weird, wouldn't it? I'm going to call false on that. Why would you have a thing about the green ones?
No, you're absolutely right. I don't care. I don't care what colour they are.
Okay, yes. So, Mark, I once wrote a detailed literary analysis of The Woman in Black that was published in an academic journal. Is that true or false?
Oh, you're so good at pointing me in the direction of things that I think you probably would have done. Yes, I'm going to claim true. I think it might be true.
I wish it were.
Oh, no.
I do love Susan Hill, but I haven't been published in an academic journal about
okay,
Woman in Black.
Fair, fair. Well, let's welcome our special guest, shall we? Audio producer and voice actor Helen Quigley. Hello, Helen.
Hello, how are you?
Hello.
Really well.
We're
it's lovely
good.
To have you on. Thanks for coming on.
You're welcome. It's fun.
Let's find out a little bit more about Helen, shall we?
Yes, so Helen is a creative audio producer and a voiceover. And as the former, she produces podcasts for independent production companies, Fresh Air Production, and I love this, Boffin Media.
I'm guessing there's no connection.
Absolutely
there's no connection.
No.
But I have come across them on a number of occasions, actually. And audio drama, of course, with B7 Media, both independently and for BBC Radio 4.
Well, Helen's voice work includes explainer and corporate videos on hold messaging and commercials, usually in her native Teesside accent. So, Helen, have you got a fun fact for us?
The one that seems to get me in the most trouble and is the most talked about thing is the being picked off the streets of Vancouver because I looked like Agent Scully.
No. Really?
Yes. And then they put me on their books as the standby photo double. So, you know, how low can you go in the celebrity stories? It's like, I was the standby photo double.
So literally somebody saw you and came up to you on the street?
Crew. Yeah. They were filming a scene on the street nearby where I worked, so I stopped to have a look. And then one of the extras sort of nudged me and said, they're looking at you over there. And I was like, oh my gosh, put my camera away because I thought that was going to get me into trouble.
And had other people thought that you looked like Gillian Anderson before?
Yeah, it's been going on since I was about 19.
Yes, I can see that.
It's a pretty regular thing. In fact, someone told me last night in the pub.
Wow.
That the line is usually, do you know who you look like?
Great fun fact.
I mean, she's probably sick to death of being told she looks like me.
I imagine she has no idea
who I am or anything like that. So, poor woman. At least I know.
So the truth is out there. Ooh. And let's have a look at our first script of the show and ask, how do you say that?
How do you say that?
So, Helen, you've shared a brilliant script with us this week. So can you tell us a bit about it?
Mm. I got an email out of the blue from an agency in New York saying, we think you'd be perfect for this script. So I opened up okay. the script and went, oh, goodness, it's one of these saucy people sending me things to record that they want to pay me money to say naughty words. And then I read the script again and thought, oh, no, actually, I see where you're going with this. So they wanted a nice English voice giving sex information in a funny way. And the video was called Porn Sex versus Real Sex. The difference is explained with food.
You see, my first thought, Helen, is I don't think a man would be asked to do this script.
No, but it would be interesting to hear someone do it. she said, you're dropping about hints.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, that answers one of our questions. Sam and I were having a quick discussion about it earlier.
Yeah, because it's interesting how they asked you to do it, because it could go south very quickly if you started really kind of leaning into the sexier bits of it. So presumably they wanted it fairly straight?
Yes. I mean, my interpretation of it later, having heard it, was Julie Andrews reads 50 Shades of Grey. So yes. that was what I was going for.
But Julie Andrews doing it straight, so as yes. opposed to Princess Diaries, Julie Andrews.
No, okay. Definitely straight. More Mary Poppins than Princess Diaries.
More Mary Poppins. Yeah. Okay, interesting. Wow, I wasn't expecting you to say that.
Well, because I presumably if you go too playful with it, then it does become porny in a way that you don't want it to, actually. You want it to be fairly... It's fun and light, but... Yeah, I mean, is that the sort of idea?
I mean, I did a couple of takes of it. I sent them off. I heard nothing for over a week. Oh. So I messaged and just went, were those takes okay? Do you need me to do it again? And they went, no, it's released. It's out there. Go and have a look.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. Oh,
and I clicked on it and it had already clocked up several million views. Gosh. And I thought, oh, I better tell my mum.
So yes.
I sent the link over to my mum and she went, oh, no, I've already found it. I've told everyone in my Tai Chi class. So, right.
Well, I'm wondering, because it sounds less like a male script, whether I should have a go first, Sam. What do you reckon?
Do. Okay. Go for it.
All right, then. Not too playful, all right? That's the thing I've got to remember. Not too playful, Mark. What's the most searched for body part on porn sites? You guessed it, breasts. Here's everything we know about them. Whether hemispherical, pear-shaped, sagging, or flat, women's breasts are pretty unique. Because while all mammalian breasts produce milk for their young, humans are the only species who view tatas in a sexual context. 81% of women say that having their coconut stimulated causes or enhances sexual arousal.
I think it sounded a bit medical.
So not fun enough.
No.
Okay. No. I was trying to channel a little Amanda Lamb from Naked Attraction and I obviously didn't quite get there.
Mm, yeah. Oh, that was an interesting...
I think it's one of those things that I think works on two levels. On one level, you're being informative. On the other, you know it's cheeky. And yes. It's got to... Yeah, I think it needs a bit more of a wink.
Okay. Mm. A bit more of a wink. Mm. I was very careful not to put too much of a wink in, so I went the other way.
Yeah, I think you can get away with more wink. It knows it's winky.
More wink. It knows it's winky.
I shouldn't really use the word winky, should I?
Not with this particular script, I'm sure. Unless there was a winky section, was there?
There was. There was a script on penises, yes. There were several scripts. Go. I happened to pick breasts because they were
fair.
The most
And so,
most friendly.
As a woman, you read them all, though? You there wasn't a male and a female voice?
No,
for
it was just me. So it was the original Porn Sex Real Sex video was one thing, and then a client came along and said, we want to do multiple videos of a similar type for our channel.
Well, the other thing that I find interesting about this is that in the second line, for those people who are looking at the script, you'll see that they haven't put them, they've put... Here's everything we know about them.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
And that I very rarely see that in a script, I'll be honest with you. So
true.
It's a very, very clear piece of direction
Yeah, I think what that was saying to me is it's a casual read. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't want this every letter, every word enunciated necessarily.
I'm looking forward to your more winky read, Sam.
Winky.
Today, the winky read.
The winky read.
The title of this episode has got to be the one with the winky read, hasn't it?
The winky read.
Surely.
Okay, let's go for this one then. What's the most searched for body part on porn sites? You guessed it. Breasts. Here's everything we know about them. Whether hemispherical, pear-shaped, sagging or flat... Women's breasts are pretty unique, because while all mammalian breasts produce milk for their young, humans are the only species who view taters in a sexual context. 81% of women say that having their coconut stimulated causes or enhances sexual arousal.
Now hang on, you called them taters
What's that?
There. Surely it's tartars.
Taters, isn't it?
Taters.
No, tartars.
Tata, yeah.
Oh, is it?
Not taters.
Yeah. See, I'd say taters as in potatoes.
No.
That conjured up a very interesting image.
Really?
It made Helen laugh out loud.
There was a snort.
Because when I... Tartars. Yeah, you see, I would have said taters.
I mean, as the gay man in the room, I don't know much about breasts anyway, to be honest. So every day's a school day for me, you know.
But that's so interesting, isn't it?
I thought it was a lovely read. It was lighter than I'd expected you to do.
Lighter.
I thought you might have got into your kind of more luxurious side, your chocolatey side there.
But that's where I think that would be wrong. Personally, okay. I think that would be wrong. But I mean, I don't know.
Yes, I thought that was quite nice, actually. But I wondered if you could do it faster. Both of you have done fairly slow.
Okay.
I never get asked to do things faster. Slower a lot.
Yes, usually that's my direction. But I think with this one, it's, I think it would be better, quicker.
I kind of need to know what the nod and the wink that you gave them was now, Helen, if that's okay.
Oh, God, pressure. What's the most searched for body part on porn sites? You guessed it, breasts. Here's everything we know about them. Whether hemispherical, pear-shaped, sagging or flat, women's breasts are pretty unique because while all mammalian breasts produce milk for their young, humans are the only species who view tatters in a sexual context. 81% of women say that having their coconut stimulated causes or enhances sexual arousal.
There was a Eurotrash feel about that. Do you remember that? I'm sending us way back when, but there was a real feel of that kind of read to it, I think.
Yeah, I probably did it in half the time you two did it. I was conscious that was really quick.
But it made sense that fast.
I was going to say, it didn't feel quick. It felt the right kind of pace. So that actually says to me that we were very slow.
Yes, must have
Because
been.
In my mind, that was the sort of pace that I was doing it at, but clearly not. It did have a sort of Julie Andrews feel to it as well.
Yes, you're right.
Interestingly, you were able to get in the playful lightness, but at the same time get that sort of...
Informative.
Yeah, it was. So that was a really interesting route that you went down. It was good, yeah.
Play How Do You Say That?
Well, it's worthwhile remembering that these are real scripts we're working on, but we've changed some names and details to avoid copyright issues. And remember, you can find both the scripts we're using today if you want to read along and have a go yourself in the show notes of the episode. So, Sam, you've brought in script 2 today. What's this about?
Well, it's from an audio drama that I did very recently. The whole audio drama itself is a spoof. So it's a comedic spoof on James Bond or that kind of thing.
Oh, it'd be so easy to slip into a cliche with this, wouldn't it?
Mm. That's what I'm worried about, yes.
But are you supposed to slip into the cliche?
I wouldn't Good worry question. At all about that. Yes, it is. It's a comedic spoof. Yeah. So, yeah,
okay,
all the cliches are welcome.
That's probably quite useful then, I think, in that case.
Yes, exactly. I mean, the fun we had doing this, because there were lots and lots of different characters in it, but there were only about 5 actors. So we all did lots and lots of different parts. So there were accents a go-go. So don't feel that you need to pull back from...
Okay. Any particular accent you'd like?
No.
Okay.
Take your pick.
Oh, gosh. Dangerous thing to say to me. You know that.
You are a spy in a spoof James Bond.
Okay.
So, whatever kind of accent you fancy.
Okay. Let's see what comes out. Yes, it is me. I have it. It was very easy. He is even more stupid than his file says. Now, the train leaves in 17 minutes and 38 seconds. It's due to arrive in Istanbul in approximately 19 hours and 8 minutes. And then it will take approximately 7 minutes and 12 seconds for me to reach a telephone. I'm sorry, I can't be more precise. Look, I must go. The train will leave in 17 minutes and 23 seconds.
What context were you in there? Where were you physically in the world?
I was on the train platform on a telephone trying not to be overheard.
Right.
Yes, that's what I would have expected on a first read. So if I was directing this as a drama, what you did there would be what I would have done first. And then I would have probably hit you with, can you try it, Brummy?
I get this thorough feeling that you're both terribly underwhelmed.
No, not at all. It's just that it's very interesting when I've heard it done. It's interesting to hear
of
it
course.
In that accent, actually, as well, as much as anything.
Mm. I think it's interesting you say it's on the telephone, because that's exactly what I was thinking, except I envisioned being in a telephone booth with a proper old school handset. Put your 10 cents in the slot.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
That feels more spy-y.
Exactly where it is. Ah. That's exactly where it is, okay. In one of those booths, yeah. Where you're, so it's you're nearish the station, but not actually on the platform, and it's not modern.
Okay.
So it's not modern in the same way that we think of it as. Mm. So it's you know, spoofy.
I wonder, Helen, if you can transport us back in history then.
Okay. Yes, it is me. I have it. It was very easy. He's even more stupid than his file says. The train leaves in 17 minutes and 38 seconds. It is due to arrive in Istanbul in approximately 19 hours and 8 minutes, and then it will take approximately 7 minutes and 12 seconds for me to reach a telephone. I'm sorry, I can't be more precise. I must go. The train will leave in 17 minutes and 23 seconds.
God, and that's really telling your handler, sod off, I'm doing it this way.
Yes. That had real attitude.
There was a strictness about it, wasn't there? Yes.
I'm doing it this way, to this precise timing. I know what I'm doing. You can't tell me what to do.
And quite a nice interpretation, actually, of that kind of... because you're right, whoever this is, they're very specific, aren't they? There's a real specificity in what they're saying, and they're very hidebound by times. And I think I do it quicker than both of you in terms of speed and so forth.
I thought it was interesting that right at the beginning, the person on the other end had obviously said, "Is it you?" Because very,
of course
with
it's
a
me.
Very standoffish, it was, yes, of course it's me. It was very much that. And that came across beautifully, but that rather set the tone for the entire piece, that you were going to be this person that wasn't going to be messed around.
And did it come out in the way that you wanted it to, Helen?
Yeah, yes, pretty much. Yeah. I think if I'd done it again, I'd probably go even more bored and laconic.
Yeah, I liked that as a choice. Because again, it's quite different from how I did it, but it's a really nice choice. That kind of, yes, we've been here before. You know what it's like. Of course, this is the umpteenth time I've spoken to you about this. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
And it was the even more stupid than his file says. Just like, clearly this person's an absolute basket case and it can't be trusted.
Why am I even on
Why
this
am
case?
I wasting yes. my time yes. on this idiot?
Quite. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, Sam, I fear that there might be a piece of information that you haven't
given us. No, there
isn't. Us.
But I'm almost embarrassed to do what I did. Because I will do what I how I've done it. But okay. I want you all to remember that this is a spoof.
Okay.
So forgive the crazy accents because they abound in this particular piece.
Oh, no. Are you going a bit allo, allo?
Probably, yes. Because that was the style and that was every single character apart from the James Bond type character. The Joy is using sort of, different accents. Anyway, so...
Yes, it is me. I have it. It was very easy. He is even more stupid than his file says. Now, the train leaves in 17 minutes and 38 seconds. It is due to arrive in Istanbul in approximately 19 hours and 8 minutes, and then it will take approximately 7 minutes and 12 seconds for me to reach a telephone. I'm sorry. I can't be more precise. I must go. The train will leave in 17 minutes and 23 seconds.
I wasn't expecting it to be the Russian spy, but it absolutely worked.
But actually, your read there made me clock something that I hadn't clocked until just now. Where she says, "I'm sorry, I can't be more precise." She's already hugely precise.
Hugely precise.
For some reason, that went over my head on my read.
One thing that we did in that was we timed how long it took me to go from 17 minutes and 38 seconds to 17 minutes and 23.
Yeah, you're not going to fit that in.
No, so it does only take that amount of time. By the time you get to the end, it should be only sort of 15 seconds later, which is why you have to go quite quickly. Yeah.
Yes.
But anyway, I mean, it was, we could have made it, of course, anything. We could have made it 17 minutes and 3 seconds. It didn't really matter.
It absolutely worked. I see what you mean. It's spoof, it's pastiche. It does have that allo-allo vibe, doesn't it? Without
a
shadow of a doubt.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. And I think that's the joy of it. I mean, it was a comedic piece. The thing is with, I mean, we know people have done comedy, the trouble is You don't want to play it for all the comedy, if you see what
no.
I mean.
Yeah.
You've got to play it reasonably straight within a kind of ridiculous world, if you know what I mean.
When there's a comedy character, they don't know they're funny.
No, that's very true.
Exactly.
They think they're deadly
Absolutely.
Serious. I always say, if you took away the laughter track on Fawlty Towers, it's an absolute horrific drama.
Yes, it really is. Yes, absolutely.
It's a man falling apart. His marriage is falling apart. His hotel's falling apart.
Absolutely.
Everybody's useless. It's horrible.
Well, I wonder how different we can do these rather too tongue-in-cheek scripts, because it's time for the wild card part of the show. Time to approach these scripts in a very different way.
Yes. So, Helen, can you pick one of the scripts and give one of us something new to do with it?
Okay, I will go for script one. And I'm going to give you this one because it makes me laugh just thinking about it and I can't wait to hear it. As if you were talking to your dog.
Oh. Okay, so classic dog chat. Okay, which one of us?
Sam.
Okay, cool. Right. Oh, what's the most searched for body part on porn sites? You guessed it. Breasts. Here's everything we know about them. Whether hemispherical, pear-shaped, sagging or flat, women's breasts are pretty unique because while all mammalian breasts produce milk for their young, yes, humans are the only species who view tatters in a sexual context. Yes. 81% of women say that having their coconut stimulated causes or enhances sexual arousal.
Very good. Have a biscuit.
Oh, my word.
Now, I don't have dogs.
No.
So, interestingly, you do. You have a dog, Mark. Would you have done that?
I don't think
Margo?
I would have gone quite so...
Quite that mad.
Quite that mad with it, to be honest, because my dog wouldn't have responded to that. But I could quite see it. Wow. You sounded like you were enjoying that a lot.
Well, yes, it's fun to do. What did we think, Helen? Was that what you expected me to do?
Yes, pretty much. I think the first part, I was a bit worried it was you were talking to a small child.
Yes.
But then when you
Although
got into...
Although the two are quite
They are very similar.
Aren't they?
Yeah, yes. they do have some crossover. But I think the second bit, there was definitely a sense of you smushing its ears as you talked.
Yes,
Which
and
you wouldn't do with a child.
And giving it a good hard stroke on its back.
Yeah.
I did feel as though I warmed into
you
it
did,
in that
yeah,
sense.
I think so.
I think that because, you never know when you do something like this, because you never know, you start off in a certain place and then you have to kind of adapt it, don't you?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, on the fly.
Right, Helen, I've got one for you.
Uh-oh.
You're an inanimate object. You are a lump of dough that is being kneaded. And so sometimes it might be kneaded quite hard. Sometimes it might be kneaded quite soft and flipped over. Maybe Paul Hollywood's doing it. I don't know. But I think that there's a chance for a lot of humanisation, shall we say, in this lump of dough. I think it would be funniest to hear in script two, actually.
Knew it.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, it is me. I love it. It was very easy. Oh, he's even more stupid than his phone says. The train leaves in 17 minutes and 38 seconds. It's due to arrive in Istanbul in approximately 19 hours and 8 minutes. And then it will take me approximately 7 minutes and 12 seconds for me to reach a telephone. I'm sorry I can't be more precise. I must go on the train with him in 70 minutes and 23 seconds.
Oh, I love that.
Wow. You know? That was the gamut of emotions there, wasn't it? Exactly.
That was incredible.
It also could have transposed to if I'd said, can you give me someone who's deeply in pain?
Yes.
But it really worked, I thought.
If you're a lump of dough, you might be.
He might well be, absolutely.
You completely took your teeth away from the equation.
Yes. Bizarre.
Everything was soft about that.
Squishy.
Because, of course, there's nothing... There's no
backbone in dough, no.
Well, absolutely. There are no angles. So it felt... So did you... When you were doing that, did you literally put your teeth behind your mouth
not,
to do
sort
that?
Sort of puffed out. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Puffed out. Okay, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Sadly, there's no video.
Really got
yeah, sadly, there's no video for that one. What a shame.
You really got the feel that you were, you know, being stretched to your yes. limits at times. I loved that. I really did. That was fab.
And there were also a couple of points where you were literally thumped back down
yes.
on the board.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was the poor Hollywood thought that did that.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't often get to do stuff like that. It's normally fairly straight down the line. Thank you for calling. Or in this.
It's a bit different.
In this
to that.
Video,
yes,
we're going to show you.
Right, Sam. You've got to come up with one for me now.
Right, I am going to give you, I want you to be a well-meaning but socially awkward new neighbour.
Okay.
Okay? And you've come round, I'm going to give you...
God, you're going to be script number one.
It doesn't
one,
really matter which one, actually.
Either
way. No, that would be really weird.
Wouldn't it?
Weird new neighbour.
Talk about socially awkward.
Coming to talk about breasts. So let's do that. Let's go for script one. And you've come, so you're well-meaning but socially awkward, and you've probably knocked for, well, I don't know, a cup of sugar or something,
okay.
or to introduce yourself.
Some taters,
and the
neighbors.
Conversation suddenly turns
yes.
to, all right, I've got
so
an idea.
So you've got to imagine opening the door, yeah, and there you are.
I've got an idea. All right, okay. Socially awkward script about breasts. Hello. Do you know what the most searched for body part on porn sites? You guessed it. Breasts. Here's everything we know about them. Whether hemispherical, pear-shaped, sagging, or flat. Women's breasts are pretty unique. Because while all mammalian breasts produce milk for their young, humans are the only species who view tartars in a sexual overview. 81% of women say that having their coconut stimulated causes or enhances sexual arousal. I wasn't expecting to see yours when you opened the door.
That was part Kevin the Teenager, part Kenneth Williams.
Yes.
Yes.
I think,
yes,
that, I think that's good, because that covered the bases, didn't it, really?
Good.
I had imagined that the lady next door had opened the door without a top on.
Really?
Yes.
That's very specific.
Well, I just thought that was that's
very
where
carry
a bit of
on territory.
Embarrassment came in. Yes, yes, yes.
So that's why you were well-meaning when you were trying to cover up the...
I was trying to explain. I was trying to not appear shocked by it.
Yeah. Yes. Don't worry, madam. We've got this under control.
Well, good Lord. If you do want to play along with these scripts in the privacy of your own booth, topless yes. or not, my friends, as we've said before, we've put the scripts in the show notes. You can have a try yourself.
Indeed, yes. So,
can you imagine?
Back to audio drama, yes. I feel. Helen, let's be sensible about this. When you're casting voice actors for your audio dramas, what qualities or instincts, in fact, stand out to you the most beyond simply having the right voice?
I'll start with the right voice, because I think the most interesting thing about casting dramas is you need people to sound distinctly different. So that is important. There's no point casting two 30-something female RP voices who sound very similar and then the listener going, which one is it? Is she the sister or is she the murderer? They all sound similar. But that's not your first and foremost decision. It's always that... It's a bit of a cliche, but it does come down to the truth of the performance and an authenticity. And you can just hear it when someone gets it and understands what they're saying and makes it sound real, I think, is the key thing.
And are you going to get that in an audition, or is that only later in the process, do you think?
You can get it in an audition. Sometimes it's an immediate, yep, that's the one. And you can be, it's the same casting commercial voiceovers as well, I'm sure. It's you just know within a few seconds, oh, they've got it. Yeah, they know what this is about.
So once you've cast someone, what are the elements that help you feel confident that they are going to bring the character to life in the way you envisioned it? Is it how they take direction, perhaps, when you work with them? Is it the fact that they've done lots of prep?
Prep is good, obviously, yes.
Yep.
It wouldn't be... It's only happened once or twice where you definitely get a sense that the actor has not read the script.
As a director, you don't want that.
Or maybe they've read their scenes, but they haven't read the scenes they're not in. That's a bit of a giveaway where they go,
so they don't have
here?
The full context.
Yes, yeah, it's just like if you'd read the whole script, you would know why you're reacting like this, even though you weren't in the other scenes. So you do get that sense.
It does sometimes surprise people almost that once you get into the record for, because you very rarely, if ever, have rehearsals. Mm. So once you get to the record, that's it. You're recording from the get-go, really. You don't have, it was very rare, I've found, that you ever have the time or the ability to actually read through the script with the whole cast. I mean, you just, you're, the expectation is that you start recording from the...
This year we managed to have a read-through in the morning and went into the studio in the afternoon. This was for the drama Harry's Home, which was an independent one we were doing in-house, and that's all in post-production. That was great. And again, something that was entirely co-produced, self-produced between two companies a couple of years ago. We managed to have a day's rehearsal. It was great.
Wow.
Everyone was wandering around going, can't believe this is happening in radio.
And did you notice a superbly much better result because you'd had that extra day?
Yeah, definitely. Because people went in having already, you know, tried out the ground, tried out the script.
Yes,
and
of course.
It meant, doesn't necessarily mean fewer takes, but you just get better takes.
And is there a pointer that you can give to an actor that may come and work with you? What is the one thing, apart from the prep and the taking direction, what's the one thing you want them to have done or be ready with? What's the one thing, do you reckon?
I would say be nice, you know, just be nice
be
to people.
Be nice, yes.
Be kind, turn up on time.
You would hope that they would do that anyway, wouldn't you?
You would hope. But it's nice. I've not been in a situation so far where someone has been unpleasant or difficult or anything. You have your moments of stress or moments where you go, oh, this is not quite going how we planned. But broadly, I think, learn it, read it, be nice, turn up on time. All of those things are very important. And I think especially in a radio studio, when you're doing radio drama, you enjoy it. It's a really great environment. You don't have to learn the script. Yeah. You don't have costume. You don't have hours of sitting around. There's a little bit.
True.
You can do a whole episode in a day and people love doing it.
In my experience, you often do it chronologically as well.
As much as you can,
which is a real... Mm. Yeah, which is fantastic when you can do things chronologically because you really get that, that trajectory of drama.
Totally,
it's great fun.
Yeah.
Not always, you don't always get it, but it is fun when you do.
All things radio drama. Helen, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it.
I have. I've had a great time. Being dough. Who wouldn't want that?
I shall remember the dough for a long time to come.
What more
absolutely.
Do you want from life?
And I got to Sam talking about breasts to her dog, so.
Well, quite, absolutely. Well, a reminder that all of Helen Quigley's details can be found in the show notes.
As can the scripts, if you'd like to practice them in the privacy of your own booths.
That's booths. Booths.
Yes, booths, not boobs, exactly. How have we not made that gag already in this episode? I don't know.
This was the perfect episode to make it. So.
Well, thank you for that. Again, thanks to Helen Quigley, and we'll be back next week with more scripts and another voiceover guest when we'll be asking, this is when we do the title of the show altogether, Helen. We'll be asking,
how do you say that?
How do you say that?